शिला प्रभुपाद की जय। सो दिस इज द कंक्लूजन ऑफ आवर यात्रा, द टू पार्ट यात्रा, विजिटिंग द मोस्ट सेक्रेड एंड होली प्लेस ऑफ श्री हनुमान जी पास टाइम्स, रामलीला इन हम्पी, where we got to visit many of the places where Hanuman performed his pastimes along with Sri Ram, and the birthplace of Hanumanji, Anjana Parvata Hill, and 5 days in Hampi, and three and a half days here in Udupi with Madhvacharya, Udupi Krishna, Balaji, and so many of the wonderful holy places, pastimes that were performed here many, many hundreds of years ago. The process of bhakti consists of shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Padasevanam, Dasyam, and Sakya Atmanivedanam, the nine processes of devotional service, which comprise the essence of all the activities that one can perform as an offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotion. The essence of this performance of devotional service is shravanam. Now, shravanam is the basis for the performance of all the other activities within devotional service, the all other eight processes. When we hear about Krishna or hear about the pure devotees of the Lord, or we hear the philosophical teachings, or we hear about the activities that make up the process of devotional service, that hearing is very instrumental in bringing about a change of heart. Hearing is the basis for all the successful performances of all the other eight activities. When we hear, then we can chant. This explained when you become full, the more you hear, because the hearing process, when it's performed in the proper mood, what is the proper mood? The proper mood is to hear, to understand, and to see how to apply that knowledge in a practical way in our day-to-day life. Or to hear the glories of the Lord and to relish these glories as the essence of the happiness we're looking for in life. So the hearing process is multifaceted, but it's foundational. And as the acharyas explain, as we become full in the process of hearing, then we want to speak. We want to share that knowledge, that philosophy, what we have heard, what we have learned with others. This is the quality of successful hearing. It's also somewhat synonymous with the nature of kindness, or what we say, concern for others. When you have something that has brought you great joy, happiness, success in life, or somehow has brought you away from suffering, whatever, anything that's beneficial, it's natural that you want to share it with friends, with loved ones, and even people in general. It's just a quality of human existence, is to want to share something wonderful that you have. And it's also instrumental, let's say, if you don't share, you somehow minimize or actually dissipate and gradually lose what you've gained in terms of knowledge, that is. So when we hear transcendental knowledge and how transcendental knowledge can be applied in our life in such a way that our life becomes a principle of devotion to the Lord in everything we do, whether it's taking care of family members or taking care of our own basic needs in terms of this body and mind, or taking care of the responsibilities of occupation in the world. When we become fixed in the process of hearing, then we can understand how to apply these principles in all activities of our life, how to seek Krishna within everything, and how to perform activities in such a way as that we don't lose our focus on the goal of life or the purpose of the activities we're performing, which is to support our devotional life. So the process of hearing is so powerful. Now, we've been hearing for how many days? Morning and night. Concentrated hearing, intense hearing. Not only the hearing, but the quality of the katha that's being spoken is coming from the hearts of great souls in such a places where these activities have been performed, which enhances the understanding of these activities when spoken by great souls in these holy places. So this concentrated hearing, every morning, hours, in the evening, hours, we become, what we say, absorbed. We have to take care of the body, but that's incidental. It's necessary. And sometimes there's inconveniences. But where in life is there no inconvenience? Does anybody know a place? This material world is designed in order to facilitate inconveniences as much as possible. We use different terms to explain what these inconveniences may be understood as: obstacles, sufferings, disappointments, reverses in life, frustrated desires, so many things that make up the obstacles that are automatically there within human existence. There's one Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He's answering some questions given to him by many other, some disciples and others. And one question is, why is there so much suffering in this world? Simple question, question we hear and experience also. And he quoted a statement. He didn't answer it directly. He gave a quote. And his quote is from one of the Puranas. And it's Krishna speaking. It's Krishna speaking. And Krishna says, the suffering in this world, I created it. As he created the material world in terms of the how it works, he's created this world in such a way that nobody can be happy here. And it's designed in that way, so you want to get out. If you're intelligent. If you're not intelligent, you keep trying to somehow avoid suffering and bring about happiness. And that's called, there's many terms that we use for that. That is called chewing the chew. That's one term. Somebody's tried something and they've spit it out. Someone comes along and tries the same thing, thinking it'll taste any better. Same thing. And Prabhupada goes into the details of how all forms of sense gratification, in no matter what body you have or in what facility these sense gratification forms take place, they're all the same. They lead to suffering, or they're suffering in themselves, either way. So by the process of hearing, we start to realize that there's no other aspiration that we should attain to other than pure devotional service to the Lord. And Krishna explains that. The acharyas explain, everyone should aspire to become a pure devotee. No one should accept anything less. Whether you make it in this life or not, that's not important. It is, in some way, it is important. But that's not the concern. The concern is one should aspire for that, the topmost essence of the human form of life, and that is pure devotional service. And by that aspiration, one opens up unlimited opportunities for success. This is a key point. When one applies determination to the process of devotional service and says, I will succeed, I will purify my heart, I will engage in devotional service as my life and soul, and one is determined, despite whatever difficulties, obstacles, and whatever else may come or is already there, then there's a nice statement. It says that then the doors for that success become revealed. When that determination is not there, those doors remain hidden and closed. But when the determination comes to purify our hearts and to become fixed in our process of devotional service, then success will be facilitated simply by that determination. It's amazing. And Prabhupada kind of illustrates this point in one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, where he's talking, Dhruva Maharaj's determined effort to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But why? He wants to see the Lord in order to have his material desires fulfilled. He understands that God is the source of everything, and God can provide anyone with anything, and therefore I will purify myself, I will get the darshan of the Lord, and qualify myself to get his mercy and get my material desire, which was, Dhruva's material desires was, he wanted a kingdom greater than his father, Uttanapada, King Uttanapada, greater than his grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, greater than his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. He wanted something that didn't exist. A kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. He was so determined. Narada Muni came along and said, Dhruva, you're just a five-year-old boy. You got your whole life in front of you. You can come back later and perform your devotional activities and try to purify yourself and see the Lord. Now just go home and be a nice son of your parents, and you can just finish out your childhood. Dhruva said, you know, I don't want to hear any of that. If you want to give me what I want, fine, but otherwise, don't talk to me. It's basically what he said in so many words. And Narada Muni was actually testing him. Narada was testing him. just to see or just to reveal his determination more and more. And of course, we understood the determination of Dhruva was so intense that it says the austerities he performed, which was in the previous age, Dwapara Yuga, cannot be performed by anyone. And Prabhupada explains in that one purport in that section within the Bhagavatam that some people ask the question, or some people say, devotional service is easy. And others say devotional service is difficult. So it's rhetorical. And he says, what is it? Is it easy or is it difficult? And then he answers the question. He says, for those who are not determined, it's very difficult. And for those who are determined, it's easy. So here's the factor that makes the difference. So coming to these holy places and hearing about the holy places, about the glories of the history of the pastimes of the Lord from great souls. Srila Radhanath Maharaj visited many of these places even before he became part of ISKCON society. He lived in these places. He found his spiritual happiness just going from place to place, associating with holy people, and learning about all these holy places. Now he's come back, and he's teaching us about the same thing through his own practice and his own realizations. So what better example can you get, or what better katha can you get than one who has lived in the places, has experienced the happiness in living in these places, who knows the pastimes, who knows the holy men in the places, and speaks, not philosophically, but out of realization. He's speaking from realized knowledge. That's the essence. It's called gyan. Gyan means knowledge, but then there's vigyan. Vigyan means vishishta gyan. Vishishta means that knowledge which is concentrated and brings about realization. So when we hear from such great souls, we take it within our heart. We listen on every word. And I was noticing the devotees when Maharaj was speaking, how absorbed devotees were just listening to Maharaj speak. And that absorption is the essence of the hearing process, to become absorbed and to push out all the other factors that may come within the mind while we're hearing and simply concentrate on the glories of the Lord, the glories of the Lord's pure devotees. So after 9 days, I'm sorry, not nine, 10 days, 10, 11 days of concentrated hearing, morning and night, we're filled with such, we've become purified, no question. Even if you don't want purification, you get it anyway. It's like you don't want the weather to be cold, but still, winter comes. You can't avoid it. So in the same way, even if you don't want to get purified, if you're here, you're going to get it. It comes automatically. But the absorption in the katha and to think how to apply this knowledge in our life. And then there's a third part, which I'll mention later. Then that knowledge becomes a factor of our character. We actually imbibe that knowledge and it becomes part of us. It's no longer theoretical, existential, external. It becomes part of your life. You live that knowledge. So coming to these yatras is a great, great opportunity for rapid advancement towards the goal of pure devotional service, to develop in our affection for Krishna. We want to love Krishna. Krishna is lovable. Everything about Krishna is lovable. He's all attractive. That's why he's called Krishna, because he can attract everyone. He is so attractive, he even attracts himself. Really. There's one story, Krishna was walking and he passed along this pillar. The pillar had a reflecting surface on it. And then he stopped and he looked and he said, "Who's that beautiful person?" And wow, and then he realized it was him. So even Krishna becomes attracted to himself. So we want to develop that attraction for Krishna. And that attraction is a symptom of love. But that attraction is enhanced through the process of hearing. And the process of hearing leads to the process of chanting the glories of the Lord. So here's the final stage, or what we say the fruit, that becomes the sweetened fruit of this yatra, is that we take this knowledge, we take our experiences with us, and we just don't leave it behind. We talk about it. We share it with other devotees. We share with people in general. A practical thing I could say is when you go back to wherever you are, hold a little gathering and just talk about your experiences here. What you realized, what you experienced, what you had heard. And that inspires others in the same way. It says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling through traveling south towards India, towards the southern part of India, he was chanting the holy names of the Lord. And anyone who heard him started to chant also. And that person, when that person would come in contact with some other person, they would also start chanting. And then that person would come in contact with that person, and they would also start chanting. So the power of transcendental sound vibration can be limitedly transmitted simply by becoming an instrument for the Lord's mercy, by absorbing hearing and then speaking about it. And speaking is the fruit. The sweet fruit. Speak to your friends, speak to your family members, speak to the other devotees, people in general. A lot of times people will say, "Oh, you were on yatra. What was it like?" And then you can tell them your personal experiences. Of course, we have everything's recorded, videoed, and also audio recorded. So that's there to help us again relive the experiences we personally had. But even more so is when we speak one to one or one to a group, that has much more effect in the sense that our own personal experiences are transmitted through our words and people also become inspired by that. So this is the fruit. So in one sense, the yatra never ends. It may end in a formal way, but the transcendental fruit of that yatra stays with us and continues and grows more and more. And I'm sure each of us had a wonderful experience. We all may have an experience at different places, which may be our favorite places, or had realizations based on what we heard. But in any case, the purification is so great that we are grateful. We're grateful. We're grateful to come to these yatras. Just think, the devotees who organize these yatras, I know the teams that are involved, how much time how much energy, how much resources they had to work with and develop, so many difficulties. Planning for this yatra doesn't start a month ahead of time. It starts 6-7 months ahead of time. They're also thinking about the next yatra as this yatra is ending. So that's how much quality of transcendental importance is put into these yatras, because we cannot really estimate the value of that association. To hear, to chant, to experience the happiness of the association of devotees, and to take something very valuable with us back to our respected areas and grow within that. So, therefore, we're grateful. And as Radhanath Maharaj mentioned, if you're grateful, then that allows bhakti to manifest in your heart. Sometimes we use a joke. It's a joke, but it actually has a meaning. They say if you're not grateful, you're a great fool. Something like that. I mean, you don't have much choice, do you? So the point is that we're grateful, and part of that gratefulness is expressed by sharing it. And sharing it with others. Okay. So, I don't know what else I can say about the yatra, except that through my own personal experience, it was one of the most memorable experiences in all these holy places. These yatras have been going on since 1990, more than 20 years. I think my first yatra was in 1993, where we had gone to Vrindavan, first Mayapur, then Jagannath Puri, and Vrindavan, three places in one yatra. And that was the most memorable for me in terms of how enthusiastic. And then in those days, I think we had a 400, 500, 600 devotees. Now we're up to, this is a small one, this is only 4,500. I think some of the previous ones were 5,000, more than 5,000 devotees come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And that, as the acharyas say, there's no higher form of spiritual practice to hear, to chant, to remember, and to glorify the Lord in the association of others. If you want to find what is the highest form of spiritual expression, this is it. And sometimes we say, devotees struggle on individual levels with various difficulties that we encounter in our spiritual life. But here's the remedy. Here's the antidote for all difficulties. Just hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes one interesting statement. He says, if everything is going wrong and you're feeling so much in anxiety, just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Just chant the holy names. And if you continue to chant, continuously to chant, and then gradually, your mind again will find peace and happiness. So there's nothing more powerful, nothing more highly recommended than to hear and chant in the association of devotees and to inspire others to hear and chant also. So, this last evening. We'll hear soon from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. I'm sure he has some very powerful statements to help us go deeper into the experience of this yatra. But take it with you and bring it to others. Because that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Lord himself, but he's pleading, not asking, but pleading. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the 9th chapter of Adi Lila, he says, this fruit of love of God is filled. It has filled a great warehouse. And there's so many sweet and juicy fruits. And I'm only one person. I am tasting this fruit, and I'm also trying to distribute it. But there's so many fruits, and I'm only one person. So please, take these fruits yourself, taste the sweetness, and help me to distribute these to each and every soul within the creation. He's actually pleading. Become Krishna conscious and give Krishna consciousness to others. Of course, we understand Mahaprabhu is all-powerful, as he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nohi Anya. Not only is he Krishna, but he's in the mood of the pure devotee of Krishna, in the essence of pure loving service, Srimati Radharani's. It's his internal mood. And he is all-powerful. He can distribute Krishna consciousness all around the world. But he wants us to take the opportunity to become purified and then become his instrument. Krishna told the same thing to Arjuna. Arjuna didn't want to fight on the battlefield. He had so many reasons why he shouldn't fight. And they were good reasons, compassionate reasons, at least compassionate from the material perspective. But Krishna pretty much rejected everything and told him that even if you don't fight, it doesn't matter because my will is supreme. All these men, referring to the Kurus, will be vanquished in this on this battlefield. So become Savasachin, he called him. Become my instrument. You take the credit. So Krishna wants to give us the credit. As Prabhupada was said when he was asked, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. Why didn't he do it? He only focused it on India. Prabhupada said he left it for me. He wants to glorify his devotee. He wants to empower his devotee to act on his behalf. And that's the mood of the Lord. So we have a chance to take part in this very, important historical time where the world is in pretty precarious conditions. Even materially, everything is falling apart. So we are in a position to somehow or other be part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to spread the glories of the Lord in every town and village. So it's glorious. So as we purify ourselves through the process of hearing and serving, then we become inspired to give this same message to others. And this is the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's movement, is to bring Krishna consciousness to each and every one. Look what Srila Prabhupada did, just one person. And look what we can see, what His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who has taken Prabhupada's mercy, how much he's doing to spread. So we just look at two people and how much they have brought Krishna consciousness to thousands, tens and thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of souls in this world. So Prabhupada said, if each and every one of us becomes fixed in our Krishna consciousness, then the whole world will become Vaikuntha very quickly. He told us that back when Prabhupada was personally present. He said we could spread Krishna consciousness around the world in 18 days. He told us that. He said, but the problem is you're not ready. In other words, we're still caught up in our activities of trying to find success through material activities. Being ready, part one of being ready is, what is that characteristic? And when we realize, we philosophically understand, but then again, through that philosophy, we realize there's no happiness in this world. Boss. Do you believe it? Prabhupada was talking about this subject. And with his devotees, Prabhupada always discussed so many things. And he was saying, there's no happiness in this world. And one devotee, you know, Prabhupada got challenged so many times by his disciples. And Prabhupada liked that because it brought out his these principles more and more. So one devotee said, well, what about the mode of goodness, Prabhupada? It says that in the mode of goodness, there's happiness. And Prabhupada said, but the mode of goodness is characterized by knowledge. And that knowledge tells you there's no happiness. Prabhupada understood that the higher principle is knowledge. And so that's part one. When we have that understanding that there's no happiness in this world, then it becomes easy to perform devotional service. The happiness we may experience in association with other devotees and with our friends and family members is simply a characteristic of our loving relationship with Krishna. When Krishna is in the center, then everything is nice. Then we have proper relationships with our friends, relatives, and people in general. Why? Because Krishna is the root. He's the mula. He is the source, the essence of everything. So as you water the root, you water everything else automatically. So we're not denying interpersonal loving relationship, but when they're based on material principles, they simply lead to frustration and disappointment. But when they're based on spiritual principles, they lead to greater and greater happiness and greater and greater relationships between the living entities in this world based on our loving relationship with Krishna. So there is so much benefit. It's incalculable. I can't even think of even one small particle of the benefit that we achieve by coming on these yatras. Sometimes we think, well, it's a little austere. We have to give up our comforts and we have to sleep in hotel rooms, or sometimes it's not even that nice. But it says that a little austerity allows one to focus more on the goal of life. So accepting austerity in order to purify our hearts by allowing us to come and hear the chant the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees will bring us more and more to loving devotional service with the Lord. So we don't mind these difficulties. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains, the difficulties that I accept in your devotional practice are my happiness. He says that. He goes through what is my happiness in devotional service. And he mentions many things. Then finally he ends up, my happiness in devotional service is the difficulties that I accept on behalf of my service to you. His Holiness Srila Radhanath Maharaj Ki. So I thank you all for your association and the opportunity for offering a little bit of service. Srila Prabhupada Ki.